what I have thought about sharing with you this evening has to do with if you have been looking at the news this week, the theme is, when are we going back to normal? Have you heard that? When are we opening things back up? When do we go back to normal? Some places are going back to normal. And it's a lot of anxiety about going back to our old life. And if you look at our practice, the thinking about our practice, you may notice that holding on to the idea that the way we lived a few weeks ago, it feels like lifetimes ago now, in early March, the way we lived, at least here in North America, but actually all over the world, being able to do things and hang out with people and go to theater and things like that. The idea that that way we lived 5 weeks ago is the way things are supposed to be normal. And we are just sort of temporarily getting out of normal, and we are supposed to just like bounce back and go back to that. We still hear that, hear talk about it. But this idea, thinking this way, it's going to cause a lot of suffering. Thinking this way is going to cause suffering. Some of you might remember hearing about this explanation of suffering. Suffering here referred to dukkha, unsatisfactoriness. And dukkha is caused by our habit of reacting to what is going on with vexations. What are vexations? Craving for more of what we like. That was the normal. I want that back. I want that old life back. Whatever it is I can go do all the time, hang out, go shopping, whatever. I want back. I'm craving for that. Aversion. The other side. Aversion to what is going on. Aversion to the reality as it is now. And the reality as it is now is very different from how it was a few weeks ago. And the other vexations, what I would want to talk about today, is fundamental ignorance. And this fundamental ignorance does not mean that we are stupid. It's referring to this habit of not having clarity. Clarity of the true nature of reality. What's the true nature of reality? That every moment that we experience is the coming together of many, many, many causes and conditions. And these causes and conditions, every single one of them, are changing because they are themselves also conditioned by layers and layers and layers of things that we don't think about. We just take them for granted. And that's why actually the world is constantly changing. But we don't see that. We think, I get up and I go drive my car and I go to work, and then I will be able to do that tomorrow again and next week. And every summer I have this vacation. I go to these. That's my life. That's the world. That's the world we live in. This whole world we have, we believe that is how it's supposed to be. So for example, the way many of us used to live before this pandemic hit us, that we're able to just go and hang out with our friends and our family, and go to restaurants, have a big party, we don't think anything of it, and be able to have fun. So in a few weeks, we're going to have a Memorial weekend here in the States, and I don't know if we'll be able to do Memorial weekend like we usually do. And we don't think any of think any of thing of that. And that's how we're supposed to be able to live. And without thinking about all the causes and conditions that make that possible. All the causes and conditions that we live in a peaceful time. We're not in war, as the people who live in a war zone. They don't expect to be able to just hang out with their friends and family and not worry about anything. Causes and conditions that made our life possible. And or we expect to be able to just engage in these large gatherings, go to ball games, go to concerts, right? For Dave to be able to work in the backstage too for these concerts. That's, you know, there's the theater, and you know, that's what we do, and people buy tickets, and that's what's supposed to happen. That's our world, that's our life. And we don't think about having to worry about getting a virus, getting infected. We don't worry about that. We don't think about it. So we take all the our world for granted. Take for granted that all the causes and conditions that come together moment after moment, that make these activities, make our world, make our life possible. And we are seeing that only one thing, a little coronavirus show up, and it changes all the causes and conditions. Okay. So we can actually make use of our practice to cultivate more clear awareness of causes and conditions that make the present moment possible. So for example, I can say, tell you every time I love going to the ballet in the city, and every time I go there, I was like, wow, like these people had to work so hard for years and years so that they can become these wonderful ballerina to put on this performance. And of course, people work backstage like Dave, and all the people buy tickets to go, and all that. It's not just because I bought the ticket and I showed up. All those many other things. Like we have decent public health situation that make it possible for me to turn up in a ballet. So we can make use of this the concept, Dharma teaching, of the fact that everything, every moment of our life, not just our life, what we're doing, but the world that we live in, that is part of our life, is the coming together of many, many, many causes and conditions. So just the simple activity of being able to get together with our family and friends and being able to hug each other. Who knows when we'll be able to do that? I know someone who called his family saying that I won't see you for 18 months. I'm not going to go anywhere until there is this vaccine. Of course, he's very optimistic that he thinks that we're going to get a vaccine in 18 months. So he's pointing out the one of the conditions that there it being safe for everyone involved to gather. And this safety is not just public health, right? I talk about that we're not living in war. Ask people who have lived through the war. There are people who are saying that my 90-year-old mother tell me, don't freak out, you know, it's like way worse in World War II. And that's what I was saying, there's no bombs at least. And of course, being able to gather with everyone in someone's home, that's of course assuming there's a home and everyone had the financial condition to travel, to be together with the family. All those may not be so easy to come by with our economic condition coming up. Of course, we take political stability for granted. Causes and conditions. Of course, how do we get together with each other? It's also that we have this immunity in our body to protect us from potentially deadly virus, which is what we are facing with. So last 100 years, we don't think about it very often because we have vaccines. 100 years ago, people had to think about that all the time. We're not used to having to worry about that. But of course, we can learn from people. We may have met them in our life. People who had just come out of cancer surgery, who are undergoing chemotherapy, whose immunity is compromised. They actually have to be very careful with who they meet. Not getting too close to other people when they gather with each other because the immunity is compromised. That is their normal. So if we sit here and think that this new normal is so horrible, I hate it, I just want to go back to my old life. Suffering from giving rise to aversion to what is going on. What this is the present moment, this is the reality. Resisting it, giving rise to aversion to it. Wanting the moment that's gone back. Because we fix that in our mind and think that is how my world is supposed to be. That is suffering. And in addition to aversion, force is also the fundamental ignorance, that it's not seeing that every moment is the coming together of many, many causes and conditions. So how do we move forward? Well, you know, some of you talked about a new normal and what would that mean? I don't know, but I've been reading these things heard people living like Anwar said, you've been living it for 4 months. My family have been living it for months since January in Hong Kong, and they live their life. They haven't been sheltered at home. So what do you do? Well, every time you get together with someone, you encounter someone, your family, maybe strangers, you have this clear awareness of where you are, who you are with. We're not talking about this being paranoid, but it's like, oh, where am I? You know, I'm in an elevator, I'm with this person. Having this clear awareness is like, am I in a situation that I might be exposed to the virus? And sort of that might help remind you to be a little bit more vigilant about everything. And then maybe that will remind you to think about, is it possible that I am an asymptomatic transmitter now because you might have been exposed? So it actually keeps you mindful of where you've been, who you've been in contact with, what you have touched, and of course, all the talk about washing your hands and not touching your face. They are all mindfulness practice. Do you know what you have touched? Do you know what you're doing with your hands? Usually, no. But actually, we're entirely capable of using the practice to cultivate this moment-to-moment clear awareness of where we are, who we're with, to assess whether we might be exposed, to be careful what we are touching, so that we remember to wash our hands. All that, if we do that, there are people all over in other parts of the world who are not sheltered at home. They live their life, go out, go to work, and that's what they do every day. And we might have to be doing that. And you might think, that's awful. I want my old life back where I don't need to think about any of this. Well, maybe you can see this as an opportunity to practice mindfulness. Instead of waiting for the mindfulness bell app to come up every hour, like now you have this opportunity. It's like, oh wow, I'm with these people. It's like, what's going on? Let me be really here and clear so I know what I'm touching. Not about being paranoid, but just being very clearly aware of what our body and mind are doing moment after moment. And so maybe this situation will help us with our practice paying attention moment to moment, where we are, what we're doing. But it's not about being stressed, not about being paranoid, but it's this relaxed, clear, total awareness of the body and mind and our surrounding, moment after moment after moment. And so when we cultivate this clear awareness of what's going on, knowing that maybe, I was in this situation, maybe I had not a possibility of getting exposed, and I better be careful. This clarity, this is wisdom. And keeping this clarity, be mindful of what we're doing and noticing the possibility of our being exposed and being vigilant about it, so that we don't give it to others. We don't spread it, we don't infect our loved one, we don't infect anyone else that we come into contact with. That is compassion. So if you think about it, in this coming months and possibly years, as we live in this way where we have to be thinking about this, our new friend, coronavirus, it is our new bodhisattva to help remind us to be mindful, to be clearly aware of our body and mind and our surrounding moment after moment. So this is great opportunity for our practice. And the practice is to our cultivation of wisdom and compassion. And in this way, moment after moment, day after day, we will live our life. We can live our life fully, do what we do with this awareness. And it does not need to be this grim, horrible future that we are imagining, that we think is so inferior to the old, good old days that was 5 weeks ago. Okay. So I think I'll go listen to Joanna Macy's talk, but we don't know. I think very, very possibly our... the way we'll be living might be, we've definitely be very different and maybe more harmonious with all living beings. So, and I hope that will help you with your practice when we are especially hearing a lot about how to go back to our old life, go back to normal. So